Welcome to Face to Face. Face to Face is an in-depth look at the life and career of a popular sports figure from a Christian perspective. Now, here's your host of Face to Face, Tom Rust.
All right, thank you very much, and welcome to Face to Face. We're glad to have you with us and hope you're doing well. We are in the fall season, no doubt about that, and we're into football. A lot of football news as the NFL gets ready to get started. And of course, the biggest news probably that kind of rocked the NFL was the fact that Andrew Luck, the quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts, decided to retire. And the National Football League has some difficulties. They got some problems. They've got to deal with a number of players who are involved in personal incidents against spouses or girlfriends. They've got the concussion problems of a number of players who are struggling with that from years gone by. And there's just a lot of various things going on with the NFL right now. But we have with us a guy who understands he's not involved with any personal abuse, but he certainly understands a little bit about what life is like in the National Football League. His name is Devon McDonald, and he's a very close personal friend. He's someone that I got to know many, many years ago when he was involved with Sports World Ministries, and he played for the Colts. He played for them back in the 90s, and he also played for the Arizona Cardinals and even played in the Arena League for a while. But Devon McDonald was a linebacker for the Indianapolis Colts, and after that, he also played for Notre Dame before that 1989 national championship team under Lou Holtz. But one of the things that he has done since then, and he's very good at, is he has become a motivational speaker to schools. He's spoken to just hundreds of thousands of kids over the years with Sports World Ministries, and we're just happy to have him with us here on Face to Face and happy that he's a very close personal friend. I think that you'll find his story very interesting. He comes from Jamaican heritage. He went to high school in New Jersey, and his brother, Ricardo, played for the Cincinnati Bengals. So he's, as I understand, he knows a lot about the NFL, and he's got some great stories. So we'll take a break, and when we come back, you'll have the chance to hear from Devon McDonald. We'll be back after this. You're listening to Face to Face. All right, welcome back to Face to Face. Glad to have you with us today. And our guest today is not only an athlete, but he's a very good friend. Our guest is Devon McDonald. He's got quite a few credentials. He's a former linebacker for Notre Dame back in the late 80s and early 90s. He also played for the Indianapolis Colts and has done a number of other things. Devon, it's always great to be with you.
Oh, man. Good to see you, my friend.
You played in the Notre Dame heyday. You guys were national champs, 1988, is
yes,
that
sir.
Correct?
Yes, sir.
And you played for Lou Holtz.
Yes.
Tell me, first of all, what it was like to play for Lou Holtz.
Well, I'll tell you what. To play for Lou Holtz, that's my Lou Holtz impersonation. Devon McDonald, Sean, you're just the worst linebacker I've ever seen, Sean. Just get out of here, Sean. That's a Lou Holtz. You can't play with him without imitating him. You know, guys now are afraid to imitate him in front of him now because, you know, he's getting older. Yeah. But, no, it was definitely a pleasure, a godsend. You know, God brought him into my life at a time that I really needed it. Love my parents. For me, I look around now, I had great parents, you know, because the tools that they had, the tools that they were working with. But going to Notre Dame and playing with Lou Holtz, it's just a whole nother level of execution, of planning, of positive thinking, intentionality. I mean, just all the things. So my mom prayers. Let me put it like this: my mother prayer catapulted me at Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So she definitely had a great hand in it, and obviously they support me while I was there.
Yeah. Who else did you have on that team that went on to the fame and went on to the
oh, man,
NFL?
I mean,
throw some names.
Yeah, so you had Rocket Ishmael, of course, the Rocket. You had Chris Zorich. You had guys like Jerome Bettis. Well, Jerome came later, but, you know, played with Jerome Bettis, the Hall of Famer. And Derrick Brown, he was top 50 best in the history of college football rated, or something like that. They rated him one time, you know. So, we just had a lot of great players, you know, but we had a lot of great guys, too.
Do you remember the first time you stepped on the field at Notre Dame?
Yeah, so.
Remember what the atmosphere was
okay,
like?
So it's amazing because being from Jamaica, I didn't grow up watching Notre Dame. I didn't grow up watching any football. So when I came to America, started watching football, who was winning? Nebraska, Oklahoma, Miami, you know. So those are the teams that I watched. I didn't watch Notre Dame. I didn't know to watch Notre Dame. And so the guy that recruited me would tell me, make sure you watch this this Saturday. So I watch about 2 minutes just to say when he called, did I watch? I said, yeah, but only watch about 2 minutes, you know. You know. So the first game that I saw Notre Dame play from beginning to end was my freshman year Michigan game.
Yeah.
You know, against Bo Schembechler's Michigan Wolverine. So when I stepped on the field, it was at night. So that was exciting, you know what I mean, to play a night game. Because in Jersey, we played 1 o'clock on Saturday. So I always played the daylight. But to play the game at night, it was just special, man. I mean, and the way we won, too. And that year, we went 12-0. And ironically, it mimics the schedule this year, where we also went undefeated. So 12 years ago, matter of fact, in September this year, we went back to celebrate the 30th year of the championship.
Yeah.
And the same thing happened. We played them at night. They played Michigan at night. We beat them. They beat Michigan. They went undefeated. We went undefeated. They went undefeated. The difference is, we didn't have a playoff.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You were the national champion.
Yeah, right away, you know what I mean?
No playoff.
Yeah, yeah.
What game decided the national championship?
Well, it was the number one team against whoever they played. So at that time, we were number one. We played number two, West Virginia, in the Fiesta Bowl. So it wasn't a particular bowl. It was just like whatever those teams they wanted to put those, whatever bowl game they put them teams in, is the bowl they ended up in.
Now, you had a great career. You were an honorable All-American in 1992. You played in the Cotton Bowl, Dallas, Texas, 1993. Beat previously undefeated Texas A&M.
Yes,
tell me a little bit about that game.
I'll tell you what. So, I was player of the game, defensive player of the game, you know. And I tell people, one of the reasons I was a defensive player of the game, because I knew I kind of did what I wanted to do in a way. I wasn't undisciplined, but Lou Holtz would have us to stay in some places that I thought, man, the ball is right there. Why do I have to be over here? And so that day, I didn't care, because after that, I wasn't going to see him anymore on the football field. Right. I was done. So I just played loose. And that's how I look back. I was like, why didn't I play loose like this for 5 years? You know what I mean? I would have made more money.
Now, the Colts drafted you in 1993 in the fourth round. So by that time, you were really well-schooled in football. It's interesting that you didn't know that much about football, and just a few years later, you're playing for the Indianapolis Colts.
Isn't that amazing, though?
Tell me a little bit about your time with the Colts. What do you have, 3 years, 4 years with the Colts?
Almost 4 years with the Colts, yeah. You know what? The team kind of mimicked my personality and how my life has been. Almost like coming from nothing to be something, you know? And so when we came to the Colts, I mean, the first year we were 4-12. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We didn't look good. And then they brought in Jim Harbaugh. Then they brought in Ted Marchibroda. Then, you know, the Tobin brothers, you know, Vince and Bill Tobin, the GM and the defensive coach. And then Jim Johnson, who, man, God bless his soul. But, man, that was a guy, powerful coach, man. He coached me at linebacker. Then he became defensive coordinator. And his defense is being ran around the NFL. That's how awesome his defense was. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, coming here with the Colts, man, it was where we came from, 4-12, and by my third year,
1994.
Yeah, by 1990. Well,
1995.
They came in 1993, but in 1995 we playing for the AFC Championship game.
Right.
I mean, just think. I mean, that quick, and you know, and that's been like the story of my life. I mean, in high school, just to deter back a little bit, my junior year we were 0-8-1. My senior year we were 10-0-1 state champions. So the message I convey in life, and my children will tell you, and I if we have another 20 minutes, I say about my children, how they kind of mimic that too. I've just, it looked like nothing, and all of a sudden, it becomes something. My daughter, when she began to play volleyball, was the worst volleyball player I've ever seen. Well, she went one of the top hitters in the Big Ten when she finished up for IU and went to play professional volleyball. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Volleyball, yeah. In Europe, right?
Exactly. So from nothing, there's nothing that's impossible. You know what I mean? As we say, with God, all things are possible.
Now, you came out of Paterson, New Jersey.
Yes, sir.
And you also came out of, you were born in Jamaica?
Born in Jamaica, yeah.
Tell me how you ended up from Jamaica to Paterson, New Jersey.
Well, my uncle came here first in 1969, the year that I was born. And then he stayed in contact with my mother, of course. And then at that time, you had to be sponsored. So somebody in the country, you know, somebody had to be in the country established, you know, a job and and legal and all that, you know. And so my mother came over, and, you know, obviously now with the illegal alien situation, you know, immigration and all that. But my situation mimics some of that situation in the fact my mother came for 3 months or 6 months, and her visa expired, and she didn't want to go back to Jamaica. So she actually began to hide from the authorities until she applied. Now, that's the difference now. She applied to become a legal citizen.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? So in that, she became a legal citizen, and then she started bringing over the rest of her family.
So that's how you got to Paterson, New Jersey. Yep. Our guest is Devon McDonald, who had a career in the NFL. He played for the played for Notre Dame, played for the Indianapolis Colts, played for a couple of other teams that we'll talk about in a minute. And certainly glad to have him with us today, Devon.
Yeah,
thanks for being here.
Yeah.
Let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll have more. So don't go away. You're listening to Face to Face. Devon McDonald is our guest, former linebacker for the Indianapolis Colts, unsung hero of the team in 19...
That was a quick break, man.
94, yeah. Tell me a little bit about what that meant, the unsung hero.
Okay, the unsung hero. Okay, so that was the first year that they did it for, in the NFL, right? Because they want to recognize that player that worked hard but didn't have the big name, you know? And so on my team at that time, we had a guy like Marshall Faulk.
Yeah.
He was a sung hero. You know, I was unsung. He was sung.
He's the sung hero.
Yeah, they sung him. you know, yeah, a guy like Sean Dawkins, he was a receiver. I mean, Clarence Verdan, Eugene Daniels, I mean, Roosevelt Potts. You know, I mean, we had some guys that people knew about. But it was amazing because... And that's why I tell young guys now, you know, that play sport, people are watching you. You don't think they're watching you, but they're watching you on the field, on the court, off the field, off the court. You know what I'm saying? They're watching you. And that year taught me that, because when they call me in the office, you know, I was at camp, and they call me in, and they had a poster and cards and TV set up for me to be interviewed. And I'm like, okay, what's this all about? And it's like, yeah, you're the unsung hero of the year. Okay, what does that mean, you know? But years later now, I've come to respect that honor, because they gave a ballot to every Colts fan that came into a game. And they did it for the other teams around the league. At the time, I think we had 28 teams. At that time, we had gotten the expansion. But nonetheless, they give a ballot to the people, and to vote for who you think is the best player, but not getting their recognition.
Yeah.
And just think, all 57,000 plus of them people said
voted you
number 57. Yeah. So it really, because it's fan based. You know what I'm saying? It's nothing. It's not the media. Because the media got their people who they like. The fans said, we think him. And you know, and that's the thing. And that's another theme of my life, is that I give my best. Sometimes it's not good enough. You know what I'm saying? But your attitude and effort, two things you control. I try to control those every day, you know.
You had your career, as every football career winds down eventually. You played a year with the Arizona Cardinals.
Yes, yes.
And Vince Tobin, by the way. I believe,
yes, yeah, exactly, exactly.
And then you played in the arena football with Tampa Bay Storm.
Yes, yes, yes.
Tell me what it was like leaving football, getting football to where the glory days, so to speak, of Notre Dame and the Colts kind of wound down for you. What was that like? What was going through your mind?
Well, I mean, it was kind of forced on me. You know, I did not really want to quit. You know, it's more or less they didn't want me, and I still wanted to play. But it's a fight, you know. The soul or the body against the spirit, you know. It's like me, I want to do this, but then I hear in God say, I want you to do this. Not that he can't give you get the glory out of your life out of football. it was that fight, you know. So that I think God allowed things to happen so he can get his will to be completed in your life, you know what I mean?
Yeah, when did Jesus Christ come into your life?
Okay, so, you know, just like Moses in the desert, just like David out there in, you know, with the sheep, I believe when God wants to deal with you, he'll take you away. Because if you stay around what's familiar, it can hinder the voice of God in your life. So God literally took me from Indianapolis to Arizona so he can deal with me. And when I went down there, you know, I sunk deeper in depression because my career wasn't going the way I wanted to. But then even that, my life wasn't for Christ. And when you're not living for Christ, your life is going to be a mess. Mm-hmm. Now, you can dress it up any way you want, but I'm talking the secret life. You know, the life that nobody else know, that life, yeah. You know. And so I just came to this place, man, where I just like, God, you know what? I'm done. And it's at that place, man, flying home from a game from Arizona. I mean, from New Orleans. We had beat the Saints, but I didn't care, man. I was just thinking about just ending this life. I got on the highway, driving my car, and thought about running my vehicle over the hill. And a voice just kept saying, just keep going. I got to my apartment, opened the door, threw my luggage on the ground, began to cry like a little baby. A lot of thoughts rushed my mind. And I just cried out to God. And, you know, Isaiah 6, when he said, the year the King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Well, my King Uzziah was football.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when King Uzziah, your football
when I didn't care about football, when King Uzziah died, Isaiah said, I saw the Lord. Yeah. When my King Uzziah died, I felt the Lord.
Now, you had a tremendous career after football. You were able to move into the ministry.
Yes.
You were able to work for Sports World Ministries.
Yes, yes.
And yes. You were able to speak to thousands of kids.
Thousands, man.
What, and tell me, how tough was it to get into that? Did the speaking come naturally to stand
before
thousands?
That's good, man. That's good. And that's why I know I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, you know. Not my will, but his will be done, because I'm not a natural speaker. I'm a natural introvert. So nothing about.
I would never guess that.
You see what I'm saying? People today, when they meet me, it's like, I really like being by myself. I'm very good being by myself, you know, but I love being around people. So God has made that transition. Like, I felt like I had this person inside, and now I'm living from the inside out, you know.
That's it.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about what. When you spoke to kids, when you started to speak to kids of Sports World Ministries, what was their response? What were some of the responses that you saw from kids?
Well, you know, to share the story of suicidal thoughts, you know, now today we have mental illness where children are dealing with. It really resonated with them. You know what I mean? They really got to, you know, when you share your story. And I believe this, head talk to head and heart talks to heart. If you share from the heart, you'll connect to people's heart. You know what I'm saying? And as my friend Lee will say, there is an ear in the middle of your heart, H-E-A-R-T. The first four letters is here, but the middle three letter is ear. So there's an ear in the heart. So if you connect with people's heart, they really hear what you're saying on a level they wouldn't hear any otherwise. So that's what I did, is literally just share from the heart, be real. You know, I think when you're real, you become more relevant.
Now, you had a number of players that did the same thing you did. You brought some players on with Sports World Ministry.
Yes, yes.
And there are some names that we know, some names that we don't know, probably names that were similar to you that had a career in the NFL or in other sports. I think
exactly.
In the NFL.
Yeah.
But how many overall in Sports World, how many? I heard a number of something like maybe a million kids were touched by all the different speakers.
Well, in 40 years now, this has been in existence for over 40 years now. Last year, well, this year, finishing up this year, 18 is 40 years. I think we calculated close to 17, 18 million.
Wow.
I've been impacted, you know, in that time frame. At one point, we were seeing more children. I mean, we do share the message of Jesus Christ, you know, and the cross is a point of conflict in the society, right? When we talk about the cross of Jesus Christ and the name of Jesus Christ, it does cause a conflict. And so going into the public schools, especially, we're not preaching, you know, we're sharing the story. I mean, the ministry was sharing the story of telling them with a message of hope that the choice that you're making, sports world says that you're not born a winner or loser, you're born a chooser.
Born a chooser.
You make your choices, and then your choices in turn make you. So it's an empowerment message. So I believe in the ministry. I'm no longer there.
You still have a ministry. We just in the way that you just. Just what you're doing with chaplaincies and things like that, still reaching athletes.
Exactly.
Still reaching
it. Exactly. I mean, one of the things that God had to purge out of me was that the only place you could do ministry is in ministry.
Right.
You know, so today I do work for Colonial Life. It's an insurance company, and it's a benefits company that help people. They save their paycheck and change their lives. Well, that's what the gospel is about. You know what I'm saying? So whichever way. So I'm about helping people. I know my life here, who knows when it's going to end. And the legacy I desire to leave is that he gave great effort, had a great attitude, and he impacted people for Jesus Christ.
No doubt, and we've seen that. Devon, our time is pretty well up, but I want to end it this way. Do you have a favorite verse, or do you have a favorite passage that comes to mind that's kind of a life verse?
Yeah. I have a slogan that I give my children, and I guess I need to put a scripture to it. Here's what I tell them. What God has for you is for you, and nobody can take it from you.
Yeah.
I mean, and if I just start that right now, my children will finish it for you. My wife will finish it for you because I really believe that. So, you know, to give you a verse, I do like our Revelation 22:21. You know, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. That the grace of God, that we don't deserve it, but yes, that he give it to us.
God gives it to us. Devon, it's always great to be with you.
Yes, same here, man.
You're a great friend.
Yes.
And a great role model. Yes. Certainly appreciate all that you've done over the years, not just for kids, but for me as a person.
Yes, and you can bring me back anytime. Just make sure you feed me, man.
We'll do that.
All right.
Devon McDonald, former NFL player. We'll take a break and be back, so don't go away. You're listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Hope you enjoyed our time with Devon McDonald. I always have a great time getting together with him whenever we talk. It's just not about football, but we talk a lot about life. And he's done so very well after his football career. You know, anytime players who have been all-stars in high school and have done well in college and they get into the NFL, when they get to be sometimes in their early 30s, mid-30s, it seems like they're not quite sure what's next. And Devon has done a tremendous job. And I have been with him on many of these occasions when he's spoken to students. And he has touched the lives of thousands of students, as we said. And we sure appreciate what he continues to do. He came and spoke to a football team, the Columbus North football team, when we had our chapel, and he just did a tremendous job with them, so we really appreciate him. Well, I hope you'll check out our website. Our website is at facetofaceradio.com, and we have a number of things up there, including a recent newsletter that I put out about another friend of mine, Jeremy Sassanella, who played minor league baseball. Hope that you'll check that out. And, of course, we've got stories up there from the past and interviews from the past. And there's a lot of interviews, so you could take a lot of time to listen to see what face-to-face is all about and what some of the athletes are that we have had up there. Again, facetofaceradio.com. That is our website. Well, as we close today, I want to take you to the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. If we put all our stock in what's going on in the world and in the news, it's pretty disheartening. But if we put our stock in Jesus Christ and allow him to come into our lives and allow him to rule in our lives, he will bring peace to us. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. That's a promise that he will keep. That's about it for us. We look forward to having you back next week. We'll have another Christian athlete. Till then, this is Tom Russ saying, remember this, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, be a good sport. Bye.
You've been listening to Face to Face with Tom Rust. For a free copy of today's program or for more information, please write to Face to Face Ministries, P.O. Box 125, Columbus, Indiana 47202. You can also find us on the web at facetofaceradio.com. Join us again next week as Tom Rust goes face to face. We'll be right back.